Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. Be reading from the Goliath Study Bible. It's giant print. Not really. We want to talk about the subject of "You Can Make Me Clean." Have you ever been dirty? I know the answer to that before I ask. If you've ever worked, you have. Really worked. But we're talking about spiritually clean. God can make us that way. Praise the Lord. Because without Him, we're, you know, the Bible tells us all our own righteousness is like filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6 tells us that. But when Christ comes in, He cleans us up and He makes us white as snow. Praise the Lord. Isaiah says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Okay, let's get to Mark chapter 1, verse 45. Verse 40, pardon me. Mark 1 and 40. "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city but was outside in desert places. And they came to him from every direction." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight or today. I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just anoint your servant to bring forth the truth. Help all of us to hear, to receive, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit would talk to the heart of every person today, God. You know what people have been through this week, God. You know every heart, every soul. And you'd reach everybody as only you can do. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can make me clean. Here Jesus reaches out to a leper. And a leper, their role in society was not good. And so if a person was a leper and proclaimed a leper and he had the disease of leprosy, he had to exhibit signs of mourning and tear his clothes and pull his shirt up over his mustache. And he would have to warn people when they came within a certain distance of him, he would have to cry out, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." He'd have to cry out. So it was not a wonderful thing. He dwelt always outside the city. He was a reject from society because nobody wanted leprosy. It was, you know, some, there's different forms of it, but some forms of it were extremely contagious, and so they lived outside the city, away from everybody else, away from family, away from friends, away from everybody except just another leper. That's the only people he could associate with. And so he was isolated. He couldn't have contact with any other. Only his only hope was to fellowship and to talk to people that were just another leper. And so signs of mourning, you know, and everybody had to see that that's what he was, and said his hair was disabled. And that means his hair was messed up if he had any, and disabled. And I went to college with a girl. Her hair looked like the explosion of a mattress factory. I don't know why. I thought you needed to know that. But anyway, there was very certain signs that he was a leper. And so he was isolated, had no contact with anybody, or couldn't have contact with anybody much. You know, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, they wouldn't dare go around because they didn't want to be a leprous scribe or a leprous Pharisee. So he couldn't go around them. And so he was isolated where no one could reach him. But he was not isolated from Jesus this day. And Jesus, knowing him and knowing all the law that went behind leprosy, Jesus reached out and to him. Amen. And Jesus said, come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't turn anybody away. And God still doesn't turn anybody away today. He says, come to me, I'll make you clean. I can clean your life up. And a lot of times we expect people's lives to be cleaned up when it takes God to clean a person's life up. And so Jesus was compassionate. He reached out. And here he dealt, first of all, with a man that was an outcast of society. And this man would live a life of shame. Let's look at the word shame for just a minute, if we can. Shame is a painful emotion caused by the belief that one is or is perceived by others to be inferior, unworthy of affection or respect because of one's actions, thoughts, or here, physical condition. And so he was shamed by society. It's like the evangelist now, Christine Kane. She was told from a childhood by her foster parents that she would never be good for anything. She wouldn't amount to anything. She wasn't no good. Many children are told that today. It's a lie, but they're told that today and made to believe that. And for a child to be told continually that they're no good, they're not worth anything, they're not amount to anything, I can tell you something to that. The parent that would say that's not worth much of anything either. Because God did not intend for us to be that way. In turns for us, even in the church world, we can criticize everybody if we want to, and the preacher included, but we can reach out and encourage and strengthen our people, and our words mean something, and so we ought to use our words. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. And so people are abused like this, lies. And so this man was a outcast of society. His disease was considered extremely contagious. No one dared to come close or to touch a leper. Under Mosaic law, he could not come close to anyone, separated from friends, from family, and lived outside the city. He was an outcast. Let me ask you personally this day, is there something in your life that causes you to have shame? Is there past behavior that keeps bringing guilt and shame to arise in your life after you've asked God 10 times to forgive you and it hadn't happened in years, but yes, still there's that one thing that keeps coming back to bother you? But you can't seem to get rid of it or get the victory over it. King David could write to that because he had done a few things that were unacceptable to society and were unacceptable surely to God. But God forgave him, and David would write later on in one of his Psalms, Psalms 27, he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord in his sanctuary, and to inquire in his temple. David said, I know I've messed up, I've had failures, I've had great mistakes, but one thing I don't want to get rid of, I don't want to get rid of my relationship with God. I want to be able to go to the temple and to offer sacrifice and to pray to God. He said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high up on a rock. And now my soul shall be lifted up above its of my enemies. Amen. If we look at shame for just a minute, if there's anybody that had things to be ashamed of, it was the Apostle Paul, previously Saul of Tarsus, as he was called before his conversion. And he had been a persecutor of the church, and on a Damascus road, he was converted and became a proclaimer of what he once persecuted and began to show people from the scriptures how that Jesus was the Christ. But he was against Christianity at first until he was born again. And so Paul had a lot of things to be shameful of his past. He didn't see any good thing about his past. As a matter of fact, he said, I was the worst there was. I was the chiefest of sinners. But he wrote to the Philippian church, and he said, and wrote to us today as well, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I can't do anything about my past. Yes, it was shameful. And yes, I persecuted the church. And yes, I was wrong and I was a sinner and I was lost and on my way to hell. But God saved me. God delivered me and set me free. And one thing I'm going to do, amen, I'm going to forget those things which are behind and reach to those things which are before. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're here today and something of your past is bothering you, but if you've asked God to forgive you, He has cleansed your heart and put your sins in the sea of forgetfulness forever. You need to get up and go. You need to, one thing. You need to forget those things which are behind. You need to reach forward to things. You keep living for God. Keep walking with God. Keep pressing on in the faith. It'll be greatly rewarded one day. Here in our text, leprosy was a disease that in some forms of it actually ate off body parts. No, if it was common today, they would be trying to sell a diet plan on it. Eat off stomach. But it was a disease that was contagious, a disease that separated the diseased person from family, friends, and any close interaction with other people. How would you feel if you just couldn't go around to anybody and talk and speak at all? And everybody's saying, get away from me, don't get too close. You know, if everybody was saying, keep 6 foot distance. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But here in Scripture, let's notice also that leprosy is a type of sin. Leprosy itself is not sin, but it's a type of sin in the sense it keeps people separated. And like the disease, it spreads, it eats away at a person until it destroys a person, and sin does the same thing. It eats away at a person until it destroys their life and their hope and their love, until there's nothing left. Because you see, the enemy of our soul has no mercy. He doesn't love anything, he didn't love anybody, he didn't love you. The devil hates you. And so, yeah, I said it today, the devil hates you, hates me too. So you're not alone. But Jesus is intimidated by leprosy or sin because he's powerful enough to destroy both. And God is not intimidated by the condition that you're in today. He is still able to take you away from this. He's able to heal you. He's able to make you clean again if you've been contaminated by sin or things that you've caved into in this culture that we live in. But we see here the work of Jesus. See, Jesus had compassion on him. 141 of our text, then Jesus was moved with compassion. Amen. I'm glad that we have a compassionate God. And if God just thought about himself and had no compassion for you and I, it would be a sad world that we live in. A corrupt world. It is already anyway because of sin. But yet God has compassion. He had compassion on you when He saved you. He had compassion on me when He saved me. He had compassion on me when He healed me. He had compassion on me and upon you when He delivered us from things we didn't think we could get victory over ourselves and would have never gotten victory over if God hadn't intervened. God can do that. So Jesus had compassion, and Jesus did something else here that you just didn't do to a leper. Jesus touched him, verse 41. Stretched out his hand and touched him. Man, this was unthinkable. Might catch leprosy. Amen. You got to keep a certain distance. Man, don't go to church with them. Your chairs are too close together. No. But Jesus touched him, and this was unthinkable because you just didn't get that close. That was under their law. Not only, but Jesus reached out and touched him. Can you remember when Jesus has touched you so many times? When you weren't worth touching, when I wasn't worth touching? Amen. When what I was in, I got myself into the mess that I'm in, and I didn't deserve his deliverance, but God had mercy upon us and delivered us anyway? Amen. I'm thankful that God does this. God sees our human weaknesses. God knows us because he created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Not only did Jesus touch him, but Jesus spoke to him. Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I am willing. Willing to what? Willing to touch you? Willing to accept you? Willing to receive you? Willing to have compassion on you? Jesus said, I am willing. Be cleansed. Amen. And Jesus spoke to him. And this was the voice that created the worlds. This is the voice that created the universe into existence. This is the voice that created mankind. This is the voice that created everything, animals and plants and everything in six literal 24-hour days of creation. God created all things. Amen. And He even created humanity. The Bible says that God formed mankind from the dust of the earth, breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and He became a living soul. So we know that God created all things and God is in charge of all things. When He speaks, it has to happen because He's God. And this is the voice that spoke the world and existed, the voice that calmed the raging storm, the voice that calls, will call us up one day. And I do believe we'll hear the same voice that John the Revelator heard when he heard from heaven and Jesus said, come up here where I'm at and I'll show you what must take place hereafter, right after the churches. And so Jesus spoke. Hallelujah. And God can make you clean. We think of cleanliness. We think of, you know, did you take a bath today? Have you had a bath in a week? Man. I remember when I was a kid, when I was 16 years old, full of wisdom. It's all right to laugh. But I was working at a cattle barn, and at the cattle barn, you don't stay clean. And my job, one of my jobs first, was to detush all the boar hogs. And you'd lock their head, don't report me for animal cruelty, I was told to do it. You'd lock their head in a chute, and you would take a pruning hooks and chop their long tushes off. And the hogs weren't happy. And hogs stink to start with. But after I'd been in that all day, I really did stink. And I had a girlfriend that I went to see afterward. But I don't know why I lasted more than one day. I didn't last very long. So a friend of mine worked with me, and we decided one day, we're not going to go to that girl's house. There was two girls there, so we went out after. And so we went to a stock tank and washed ourselves off the best we could, and, you know, we were welcome then. Weren't much cleaner, a little bit cleaner. But past that, God can make you spiritually clean. He can wash you, He can purify you, He can make you heaven acceptable. And without His work, we'll never be clean enough. And John, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Purges, purifies, washes away all those bad feelings, all the time you wanted to say bad things to bad people, all the times you wanted to do bad things to people, and you know, all the times you ever wanted to get even, and people you wanted to cuss out, but you know you shouldn't and you didn't, but you wanted to. God can make you clean. Don't tell me you've never been upset at somebody and wanted to do things that were sinful. You have. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we turn to Him, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. He's able to take away those hurts and those desires and those sinful things that carnal man wants to do, and to cleanse us and make us pure and ready for heaven. Clean enough to enter His holy heaven. Clean enough to enjoy eternal life. Clean enough to partake of the tree of life. Clean enough to live with God in a perfect, pure, sinless heaven forever. Amen. People have preached for years there'll be no sin in heaven, and that's the truth. There won't be any there. And the reason there won't be any there is because we're delivered from it, and the blood of Jesus makes us clean enough to go there. And He makes us clean enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Aren't you glad God's faithful? I heard a Sunday school teacher preach, not here, but another church one time said, if you sin after you've been saved, then you're not going to go to heaven, you'll go to hell. But it says, God says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just kind of want to believe what Jesus says right here. God says, not kind of, but I surely want to believe that. God cleanses people that we would never cleanse, because God can cleanse. And God can wash. And God can take away our sins. At the church at Corinth, they were an ungodly bunch before they were saved. And Paul didn't preach to them, just said, just keep on living like you're living, and you'll just be a better sinner. No. They were all types of sins committed, even gay sins, ungodliness, drunkenness, every kind of sin you want to mention. You read it 1 Corinthians 6. But Paul says of these, after they were born again, he says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. My friend, you can't get any better than that. If in the sight of God, if you're washed, if you're justified, declared not guilty, amen. If you're sanctified, separated from sin, and devoted to God, my friend, God can do that for you, and God can do that with you, and God can cleanse you and give you hope instead of no hope. God can cleanse the filthiest people. God has and can and will. People who have been involved in unthinkable sins, the most foolish, hurt, wretched sin that you can think of, wretched behavior and treatment of other people, God can set people free. He can cleanse people and make them acceptable in heaven, because that's what He did when He saved me and you. And today there's all kind of articles that are written to make a person feel better about themselves and about their sins. There's all types of articles written about how to get over this and how to get over that and how to feel better about what you're doing, even though you know it's wrong. I don't think Jesus wrote any of that. But guilt and shame will never leave unless God works in that person's life. The shame and the guilt will be there forever unless God cleanses and purges that person, purifies that person. They'll never have peace of mind without a work of God. But I'm thankful that with the work of God, we can have peace with our heart. You know, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And at the cross, Jesus bore the guilt, the shame, the lust, the unforgiving grip of sin that only He can break. Man. Revelation 1:5, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us a kingdom of priests to God and the Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. The Apostle Paul dealt with some people that you wouldn't want to deal with. But he dealt with me. If you're tired of dealing with me, I'm sorry. God chose to deal with me. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, there were people in Philippi that had gone away from God or had really maybe had not been truly converted, but if they were, they had drifted back into their sinful way. And Paul says to the church at Philippi, he says, for many walk of whom I have told you now, often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who set their mind on earthly things. Paul is speaking of people who had no eternal values, but they just wanted to add Jesus to what they already were. And you can't just add Jesus to a sinful life you're in pursuit of. You've got to reject the old life of sin and turn and live for God. That's what being born again really is. It's not just signing a church roll. It's not being a member of the church. It's saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and I want you to cleanse me and wash me from my sins, and I don't want to live that way anymore. That's what truly being born again is. So at the cross, Jesus washed us from our sins. Amen. And we are not of those who are enemies of the cross. I'm glad Philippians didn't end there. Book of Philippians 3:21-20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall transform our lowly body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to make subdue all things unto Himself. Amen. God's going to give us total makeover. Praise the Lord. You get to heaven, people may recognize you the same person, but it's a person that's been born again of God's Spirit and washed from their sins and free from the law of sin and death. Praise God, you'll be in heaven with Jesus forever. Because you see, strong sin has a very strong grip that won't let go. It takes something greater than you to break the grip of sin and to turn you in the right direction. It takes God. It takes God to make you faithful again, which you once were. To turn you in the right direction, it took God to break the strong grip of sin. And Jesus was this leper's only hope. Leprosy had a grip on this man that couldn't let go and wouldn't let go. And there was no cure for leprosy. And there was hope, no hope of ever being anything but a leper until he died a slow, painful death. And so this leper comes to Jesus, "Lord, if you're willing, you can. I believe, Lord, you can make me clean." Because you see, that's what sin does to a person. It makes a slow, painful death. And there's no cure without God's work. But I'm glad with God there is a cure. And sin destroys hope. And not one sin is ever or ever will bring hope to a person. You can see people all over the world, people all over this town, probably today after a night of partying last night on Saturday night, they're not happy, and all the sin they committed did not make them feel any better about life. Because sin is destructive. The Bible tells us plainly the wages of sin is death. Amen. And all sin can offer is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. This is the best that Satan can offer you, is hell and separation from God. See, that's the best that the devil and sin can offer you. It's not worth it. Just live for God. Fall upon the mercy of God. And here we see that God is always willing. He believed that Jesus was able. The leper here said, "I believe that you're able." He said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." He had no doubt that Jesus, he had heard of Jesus' miracles, no doubt. And he was a seeker. He diligently sought God. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to believe him. To please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. I tell you what, this man here, he was a diligent seeker. He ran after Jesus, said, "I've got to have something. I've heard about this Jesus that can do miracles," said, "I've got to have something from God." And he had no doubt that Jesus' miracles, that he could do a miracle today, and even that he could do a miracle in me, a leper. And he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Lord, I'm tired of being separated from family and from friends. I'm tired of being an outcast of society. I'm tired of not being able to go to the temple and worship with other people." And so Jesus said, "I am willing." The God, the voice that created heaven and earth said, "Be cleansed." And immediately, his leprosy was gone. Amen. And now he could be normal in society again. Could he do a miracle in him? Could he do a miracle in me today? Yes, he can. Do you believe that God can deliver you from sin, from bad habits today? That he can clean you up? Surely he can. He could then and he can now. What he could do, he can still do. Praise the Lord. Could you come close to him today? Yes. Do you dare to reach out to him today? Yes, God will touch you. God cares. Do I have to cry out unclean? You don't have to. God already knows. And God is able to clean us up. I'm glad that he is. Do you believe God is able today? He's still the Son of God. He still has all authority and all power today. Jesus says, "Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me as you are." A lot of people think, well, if I can clean this up out of my life, then I can go to church and be a Christian. No, you can't. God didn't clean you up, you can't be clean. You just need to yield your life to the Savior and He'll clean you up. Praise the Lord. song that's sang at every end of every Billy Graham crusade, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. As thou bidst me come to me, O Lamb of God, I come. Let's come to Jesus. Let's let him have his way.